Good morning. If you are just now joining us online, I would invite you to let us know that you are worshiping with us by commenting below or filling out that Connect card. And I would just like to remind those who are here in person with us that we have a whole nother community of folks that join us each and every week who is, all these folks are a part of our church. And so if you haven't seen someone for a while, I would encourage you to just pick up the phone and give them a call. They might be worshiping with us every week, but it's important that we continue to make connections, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. So I would encourage you to continue to build those relationships with folks, whether they're here in person worshiping online or whether they're not here at all. This morning, we're going to be continuing in the book of Mark. This isn't a sermon series. That's just kind of where we've landed in the midst of the lectionary. And so we're going to pick up where we left off last week. And in this text that we read this morning, Mark ends this section of his gospel with Jesus talking about salt and salt losing its flavor. Several years ago, I don't even remember where I was, but one of my friends had a t-shirt on that looked somewhat like this. And it said, "Be these." Do you get it? There's a salt shaker and a light bulb. Yeah, if we go back to the picture, right? Be these. Be salt. Be light. And there's a scripture passage, not this week's scripture passage specifically, but there's another gospel passage that lends itself to this very message. And it comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And in this particular passage, Jesus is teaching. This is his infamous Sermon on the Mount, right? And he gives all sorts of lessons. And he says, "You guys, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." And then he says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, no, they put it on a stand and they give light to everyone in their house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And so when we read this from Matthew, Matthew's pretty clear, right? It's like, you are salt. Go out and flavor the world. If you've lost your saltiness, it's kind of worthless. Do your job. Do what you were created to be. And then he also says, "You are the light of the world. Stop hiding, stop running, but shine brightly so that others can see you and see your witness that I have taught you, this witness of love and grace." This is what Jesus is telling, not just his disciples, but he's telling that whole community who has gathered around to listen to him. Be these, right? Be salt and be light. But one of the things that sometimes I start to wonder about is this line that Jesus offers in Matthew where he says, if salt loses its saltiness. Salt loses its saltiness. And this is a text that Mark also says. I don't know if Matthew got this specifically from Mark. Mark was written first, right? I know it's not first in our canon, Matthew's first, but Mark was actually written first. And then Matthew and Luke stole from Mark. And then they had their own stuff. And then they stole from another source we call Q. But Mark echoes the same line. He says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? So that's where we're gonna read today from Mark. And I will preface this by saying Mark's gospel here is a little confusing. And it's a little kind of head-turning, like, what, Jesus, are you trying to say? He gets a little graphic and grotesque in the midst of this text, so I just want to warn you up front. But our story today comes as Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem. And so this is right in the middle of Mark 8 through 10, where over and over again, Jesus is struggling to turn the thoughts of his disciples from human thoughts to godly thoughts. And the disciples, they have great difficulty trying to figure out where the heck Jesus is leading them. Peter tries to protect a friend in danger, and Jesus calls him Satan, right? He says, "Get behind me, Satan." And right before this, the text we read last week, the disciples are arguing among themselves, not about godly things, but they're like, who's the greatest one of us, right? Who's the best? Who's first? We talked about that last week, right? And so Jesus grabs this little baby, probably a toddler, and holds it on his hip. And he says, whoever welcomes a little child like this welcomes me. And that's where our text picks up this morning. So we're going to read from Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. And last week I tried reading out of my Bible, but the text is too small, so I'm going to read from my screen. I think I need reading glasses, but we'll see. All right, if you will stand, this is a gospel reading, and so that is the tradition in our church. Starts off, "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were just thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, for it is better you to enter life maimed than with two hands, excuse me, to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if a foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other." This is the word of God for the people of God. It's hard to say thanks be to God to that one, right? So Cliff Black is a commentator, and he says this about our gospel reading. He says, "It contains most things that drive our consciousness into a slough of despondence." Basically, he's saying it makes our brains explode a little, and it makes us want to run into a dark corner and hide and possibly grab our knees and shake and rock back and forth, right? It's a little confusing, and it sometimes makes us question our very existence. He says there are exorcisms, there are multiple disturbances in the Greek text. If you're looking at this text in your Bible, you will notice it skips verses. You pick it up, look, 44 and 46 are not there because there are different manuscripts and the NRSV does not like those texts. They say they're not true to the text, and that just makes theologians' heads explode, right, when things are missing. All right, there are hard sayings of Jesus that are logically incoherent and sometimes manifestly outrageous. This text is hard. Not only is it hard from a critical reading standpoint with these missing texts and also some weird translations, but it's also just hard because Jesus kind of sounds like a jerk. Anyone else think that? Maybe I shouldn't say that about Jesus. He's probably going to get struck by lightning. Jesus says things like, if you cause one of these kids to stumble, it's better if I just throw a large millstone around your neck and threw you into the sea. Whew. That's tough, right? That if your hands cause you to stumble, just cut them off. Your feet, nah. It's better for you to have one than two. If your eyes cause you to stumble, just pluck them out. It's better for you to be blind. Jesus gets a little intense here. So if we remember where we left off just right before this, excuse me, I'm gonna take a drink real fast. Jesus is talking about welcoming little children, right? That's what follows Jesus welcoming little children, right? This crazy text. But it's precipitated by one of the disciples, John, who interrupts Jesus. Now remember, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's gotten a little mad at them because they're arguing about who's the greatest. He's like, guys, that's not what this is about. He says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. So he's saying, if you welcome these beautiful children, you welcome me. And if you welcome me, you welcome God. And that's what we're called to do. It's not about who's the greatest. It's about who's the least and bringing them into the fold. Beautiful message, right? And John pipes up and says, teacher, we saw somebody over there and he was driving out demons and we stopped him because he's not one of us. John just doesn't get it, does he? Jesus is offering this beautiful sermon and he says, hey, Jesus, we just stopped your work over here because this isn't the right person doing the job. And I'm pretty sure at that moment, Jesus probably smacked his face and tucked his head and sighed and grumbled, right? It does not say that in the gospel. I'm just adding my own commentary to it. But Jesus responds to him and he says, don't stop him. For no one who does a miracle in my name in one moment can say anything bad about me. Whoever's not for us is against us. Right, he says it once, he says it twice, and then he says, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. He offers three different explanations for why you shouldn't stop him. Somebody can't do something in my name and then say something bad about me. Someone who's not against us is for us. Someone who offers a cup of water in the name of Jesus is not going to lose their reward. Stop trying to exclude people. Stop trying to throw these people out. Just stop it. They're doing the good, salty work. And you guys are over here all confused and haven't figured out your purpose. So that's kind of the little interlude that Jesus offers, because Jesus is on this preaching kick, right? He's talking about welcoming little children, and suddenly he's interrupted by idiot John. And he's like, all right, let me explain three different ways on why you should welcome people. And then he takes that baby that's on his hip and he keeps preaching. It says, if any of you causes one of these little ones that he's holding, causes you to stumble, it's better for you to just get out. Stop messing with the innocent. Stop messing with the vulnerable. Welcome them. That's who I want us to wrap around. And then Jesus goes off on this stumbling kick, right? Where he says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. Now, I think Jesus is speaking in a parable here, right? I don't think he's literally telling us to go chop off limbs. Maybe I'm wrong. When I get to the pearly gates, I'll ask. He might tell me You preached wrong. You should have had your people just mutilating themselves all the time. I don't know. But Jesus is making it clear that we need to remove the things that are causing us issues. We need to get rid of those human desires and focus on the godly stuff, right? We just talked about those questions where Jesus was saying, who is the great, or where the disciples were arguing, who's the greatest, right? And he's like, stop thinking like that. It's getting in your way from the most important things. You guys are too worried about this guy over here performing exorcisms, doing miracles in my name, and you want to kick him out? That's what you're worried about? Cut it off. Stop it, Jesus says. And then he gets real confusing. He starts offering these patterns of speech that are really kind of incoherent in some ways. First, he says something about being salted with fire. It kind of doesn't really make sense next to what we just read, right? As far as what I've read, I haven't found any great explanations of this text, but I'm going to try this morning. Second, he says, if salt loses its saltiness. This is something that Mark says also, right? But it doesn't really make sense either, because if you know anything about salt, salt is a rock, right? It can't lose its saltiness. It never goes bad. You can dissolve it in water, but if you boil away the water, what happens? The salt's left, right? You can't really ruin salt. So I'm like, okay, Jesus, what do you mean if we lose our saltiness? Salt can't lose its saltiness. And then he says this, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. What does that mean? Have salt in yourselves, be at peace. Be fired by salt, and then have peace. This whole thing is just kind of mind-boggling a little bit. But if you remember what Jesus says in Matthew, right? He says, you are salt. So it's this metaphor here that Jesus is comparing us with something else. And he tells us, you will be salted by fire. Salt is no good if it loses its saltiness. And what I think Jesus is doing here is he's reminding the disciples and those around them that they were created for a godly, holy purpose, and they keep royally screwing it up, just like us. We were created for a godly, holy purpose, and so often we goof up or we forget it, and we just keep walking around the way we're supposed to, or the way that we do, without even focusing on God. We've lost our saltiness. Maybe salt can't, but we surely can. I don't know about you, but it doesn't seem like the salt of the earth and the light of Christ shines very brightly or tastes very good sometimes. We live in a hateful, divisive world. Anyone else feel that? And we like to be salty with one another, but not in a Jesus kind of salty way. We like to be salty with one another and put people down and test people so we can tear them down and put things out there that just tear us apart. But we're called to be Jesus kind of salty. To welcome the little children, to show love and compassion. And so Jesus is saying, you're going to be salted by fire. You're going to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to move and work and live in you so that you can really be who God has created you to be. Be salt, he says. And if you lose your saltiness, come back to me. Cut off the junk in your life that's causing you to stumble, and come back to me. Be salt. Be transformed. Go out and make the world taste good instead of tasting bad like it so often does. Let's pray. Oh God, I give you thanks this morning for your difficult text in Mark, and for the people who put it in the lectionary so I had to preach on it today. God, we give you thanks for this difficult message that sometimes we don't always understand. But God, at the heart of it is this message to include those who are not included, to love those who are not loved, and to be transformed by the power of your Spirit and to share that message of love with everyone. God, inspire us today. Allow our hearts to be transformed and allow us to be salted by fire so that we might live at peace with one another. We pray this in your name. Amen.